Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, the only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we talked about being in the world, but not of the world. And the good news is that God in His love has called us out of the world to be His own people. Let's read about that in the Holy Scriptures to start off here today. John chapter 1 says, "The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world." This is Jesus. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And my news to you this morning, to start off, is that you are, if you are in Christ, entirely different from the world. God has snatched you out of it to be his own, to be his own people, a holy people. And I want to start today a sermon series on what it means to be of God, of the world above, how we are not of the world. How are we different from everybody else? And we need to do this, especially that we may grasp it and not fall away from our new identity, our citizenship in heaven and of the world above to which we belong. For listen to what Paul says here, his word of warning in and encouragement in Philippians chapter 3. He speaks of those who were in the faith and who departed. He says, "Brethren, join in imitating me, and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many, of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself." So, what I'd like to talk with you today about is the new mind that we have in Christ, that aspect of our newness in Jesus. The mind is really one of the most important things we have, isn't it? Sort of like central command, our headquarters for our bodies, charts the course of our life. And so it's so important for us to have a new mind in Christ that God has given us what is called a sound mind, peace of mind, a clear mind, a true mind, an enlightened mind that understands truth and sees it and lives it. So let's talk today then about how you're different. And what would God have to tell us today about giving us a new mind in Jesus Christ so that we live in it and rejoice in its blessings? Well, number one, he'd tell us, remember that at one time you were all out of your minds. Crazy, deranged, nuts, mad, depraved, corrupt, lost. How many other words could I give to describe what you once were and what the world right now is out there? Isn't that what it seems like to you? Well, listen to where we got this from and how it happened. It says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven." This is Romans 1. "Against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God's shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, through nature that is, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but what? They became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God for images of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles." Quite a chastisement and commentary on the world and on us, right? Darkened, fools, mad, crazy, deranged from God's perspective, although we think ourselves wise. God says, claiming to be wise, they became fools, with darkened, senseless minds in futility. Because we didn't know the truth, and the world doesn't know the truth. But you have a new mind in Christ. Listen to what God's judgment is, though, on a on a stupid mind, okay? Proverbs 12, verse 8 says, a man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised. Well, what was the world like in Noah's day? If you look at Genesis chapter 6, it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and, quote, every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And see, this is a good indication that I'm pumped up today when I lose my microphone. Therefore, God said, I'll blot out man whom I've created from the face of the earth. But notice what the crime was. Notice what the problem was. Not just the behaviors, but God looked down on the earth to see, is there any wise person here? Is anybody here with a mind that understands and knows me? It says that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And frankly, folks, that's where we all were too. And that's how you were born into this world. If God didn't come to do something in you, you'd be crazy, deranged, mad, senseless, darkened, a fool, and not have any idea about knowledge, where to go, what the truth is, soundness of mind, peace of mind, clarity of mind, all these things that you want, right? Well, this is what God comes to give you. And just remember, and if this happened in Noah's day, and the judgment that came for their thoughts of their hearts, what is coming upon this world at the end? People who say now, God doesn't care. God loves the way I'm living. God loves me. Well, of course God loves me, but I can reject his son, Jesus, and be saved. But God says through David in Psalm 50, these things you've done, and I've been silent, but and you thought with your mind, you thought that I was one like yourself. But now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. That's what it's going to sound like on a day soon to come. So we want to get this message out of grace. So God says, y'all once were fools. Y'all. He's Southern, you know. He's from the Bible. But no, he's not from the Bible. But we were all foolish and depraved, corrupt, darkened in our minds. We had no minds. We were out of our minds. But the good news is that God has come to give you a new mind in Christ. And how does he do this? When he touches you by grace. Just imagine Jesus coming up and touching your foreheads right now and blessing you with a new, sound, clear, and calm mind which knows the truth. Let me read you a beautiful illustration of this by Luke in the Gospel. Luke chapter 8. Beginning verse 26 or so, the disciples and Jesus, they arrived in the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As they stepped out of the boat, a man met them from the city who had demons. For a long time, he'd worn no clothes, lived in a house, not in a house, but among the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down, and said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beseech you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And many a time it had seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and fetters, but he broke them. Think about how he was filled with these demons and was driven by them into the desert. Jesus said, "What's your name?" The demons responded, "Legion." And then, as you know, he commanded the demons to leave the man and go where? Into a herd of swine, which rushed down the steep slope and were drowned in the lake, in the sea of Galilee. But then it says here, when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city. In the country, the people went out to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that beautiful? The touch of the grace of God the Almighty to you. That's what you need in order to get a new mind. You need to meet Jesus, have him come to you who are in captivity to sin, with a sin-darkened mind, and have God touch you with his grace and bless you with a new mind. Do you have a new mind today? What is your mind like? Do you have the peace of mind that comes through the forgiveness of sins? Do you have a mind that knows the truth, that knows Jesus? Well, I was once apart from God. I was once sin-filled, depraved, a fool, didn't know God, didn't really know Jesus. I had a zeal for God, but I don't really know, because I was, I remember this time off of in the evening in Rockland, Maine, crying out to God on the beginning of a starry evening, feeling so darkened, so oppressed, so lost, alienated from God because of the ignorance that was in me due to my hardness of heart. I'll tell you, this is not just preaching something else. This is preaching my testimony today, because I had such a mind, and God came and blessed me with a new mind. And I was found some weeks later sitting by Jesus, clothed in his righteousness and in my right mind. How about you? I came to faith in Jesus, or at least came back to faith in Jesus after straying. But what amazing grace God has for us. Do you know him today? I believe you do. But if you've never known him, if you're a visitor, I'd invite you to receive Jesus Christ today as Lord and Savior. Have him clothe you with his righteousness, set you upon your feet, and give you a sound, a quiet, and a true mind in him. For we know the truth, we know our salvation. And what a blessing that is to us. But then, when you're saved, when you come to Jesus, you're blessed with a new mind, a sound mind that knows the truth and knows him, you got problems, right? All of a sudden, the whole world doesn't know how you think anymore. And you don't understand how the world thinks anymore. You find that happening with yourselves out there. You watch the news. You watch this or that happening. You're going, they're crazy. They're nuts. They're mad. They're deranged. What is going on? Well, guess what? Here's a little secret. They're thinking the same thing about you. Because the world and those who are not of the world, never the twain shall meet again. Because they have the mind of darkness and confusion and not knowing the word, but you do. Your mind now sees the way, sees Jesus, says, of course this is the way we ought to do it. Let me give you some examples. In politics, maybe some of you have some angst over that these days. Psalm 33, verse 12, we know. All right, I'll give you a second. You want to talk a little more? No, we'll never get out of here. Let's go on. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Does your mind accept that? Do you know this truth of the Scriptures? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you think, of course, what we ought to do in America and in every country of the world is in God we trust. We ought to just live what's on our own coinage and we'd be fine. But nevertheless, it's amazing how under attack that is today by the world. They're opposed. Get it out of the classrooms. Get it out of the courtrooms. Get it out of the public arenas and the halls of Congress and all other such places. They don't want it in general, or if they do, only in appearance but not in truth. But the mind of Christ, which you have, says, of course, sin is a reproach to any people. Let's trust in the Lord and obey his commands. How about this one? Do you have any friends who are into evolution? I've talked with some of you, a number of you in past weeks, that have expressed angst over this too. And again, each side thinks the other is crazy. Some people who are evolutionists look at the world and they say, we're evolved from apes, which go back to monkeys, which go back to, pygmy shrews, which go back to algae and pond scum, and that's where we're from. And it's a hodgepodge of a primordial soup out there. Can all be attributed to chance. We say, are you nuts? What drug are you taking? Because we look at the world and we say, you see the complexity of nature? Don't you see the beauty and balance of nature? The stars and the planets and their courses? And all this happens to you by chance? What, seriously, are you on? I was just looking up again this morning, the DNA inside each human being. If stretched out, and I've shared this before, you stretch out all your chemical sequencing in one body that's coiled up inside you, the physics facts book, which is not Christian, but a physics book, says you, your DNA and you would go from the earth to the sun and back again 66.8 times. That's all chemical sequencing to tell your body how it ought to live. Yeah, that's all by chance. Yup. That's nuts. But we have the mind of Christ. They can't understand. Psalm 19 says the heavens are telling the glory of the Lord. The firmament proclaims His handiwork. And we see that and we say, amen. It's true. God made us. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Let's take another one. Here's a hot topic today. Homosexuality. We talked about that last week with the recent vote of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, another denomination, where they gave their blessing formally at their church assembly to homosexual behavior. Okay? They also said there that they're going to begin ordaining, practicing homosexual persons as their pastors. To which we go, are you like reading the same book as I'm reading here? Where's your mind? What are you thinking out there? This is not of God, because Scripture is so abundantly, plainly clear about this. Where are you getting this? Well, let's talk about this just a little bit. Take, for example, this word that they have against you, calling you mad. They say, if you don't accept homosexual behavior into the church, then you're not loving. Have you heard that? Let me read here. Don Norton gave me this about a bishop that he knows, Bishop Mary Yerge of the upstate New York Synod of the ELCA. She said, we're addressing the question of human sexuality within the context of Jesus' invitation to love God and love our neighbor. Do we want homosexual persons to come and hear the truth and turn from it and be saved? Amen. Love them in this way. Yes. And do them good. Does that mean I'm to say, go ahead, Adam and Steve, go ahead and live together? No, because what is that doing? I'm confirming someone in something that is going to destroy him in the end at God's judgment, if not also in this life. But nevertheless, they call me a hate monger for it. Why aren't we calling them hate mongers? They're the ones who are sending them into trouble. Not that I want to call names to people, but you see how they call us mad. We call them mad because we have the mind of Christ from above, knowing His word, and they turning aside from the word, many of them, that is, don't have that mind. How about another one here? The Bishop of New York also says this. I thought this was interesting. There is room for our being gracious to a neighbor who disagrees with us on this topic. And we understand that their doing this is based on their faith. In other words, this I heard time and again at that assembly. They said, for those of you who don't believe that we should be practicing homosexuals, there's still room in the church for you. We'll make place for you. We want to respectfully disagree. do you believe that? Do you really think that that's what they're saying is, we'll welcome you here along with us. We'll make a place and a room for you. Ha! No. The mind of Christ in me is saying, you don't really want me in your church. You're just saying this to sound good. You would rather I be out of this church. And that's what happened with Don Norton when he went to this same bishop before she became a bishop. Went to a meeting that they were supposed to. He said, well, let's get the men involved in the church again. And he waited for the next meeting to occur. He wasn't called for it. And he thought, well, maybe it's just a mistake. He called this bishop and said, hey, I didn't know there's a meeting. She apologized for missing him. Said, well, make sure you get the next message for the next meeting. And guess what? He didn't get any call about another meeting. Do they really want people of dissenting opinions in the church body? I personally don't think so. But again, let's look at another one. How about ELCA says we value life. We value life, but we also promote abortion. I don't go along with that one. How about this one? Bishop Hansen says this. Now, it's not Art here, Hansen, but the presiding bishop of the ELCA spoke about their assembly this way. He said, we begin this week in a spirit of constant, confident hope that the various factions can agree to disagree. Does that sound like what ought to be going on in the church? Of course, about little things we can agree to disagree, but about the Word of God? He goes on to say he didn't want to take his position on this because he didn't want to affect the outcome. He wanted to be a good shepherd of the to see that the process was clear and no one feels anxious, marginalized, and everyone participates. Let me just ask you a question. If you have the mind of Christ and your presiding bishop says, I'm going to be a good shepherd of this vote of this churchwide assembly, but I'm not going to take any position on this issue. I'm just going. My job of shepherding is just to make sure everybody kind of gets along. Let me just ask you, as a test, if you have the mind of Christ, what would be your response to that? Is that what a shepherd is? Does a shepherd just say, okay, come on, bring the wolves in and the sheep. We'll all put them in the pen together. Let's just try to behave ourselves. No. If you have the mind of Christ, you say, I'm a shepherd. I am to lead. I am to make a firm stand here and protect the sheep, feed the sheep. But now the wolves have been let in, and Jesus would say, the sheep hear my voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And a stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So there is politics, there is the world, there is lifestyles, there's the church. But the best thing of all is the cross. Do you have the mind to know it? It says in 1 Corinthians 1, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, foolishness. But to us who are being saved is the power of God. What is the cross to you? This is the best test to know whether you have the mind of Christ. Do you know that God has been gracious to you? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he's calling to you to his salvation in Jesus right now? Saying, come again to the foot of the cross, to Jesus Christ, in whom alone you have a full remission and redemption of your sins. Yes, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, Isaiah says. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord God Almighty. If you think it's crazy today to think that God could love you, or that he could forgive you, I want you to have the mind of Christ. Let Jesus touch you and set you in your right mind and clothe you in his righteousness and in his promise of the resurrection unto life eternal. And when people say, as they said to Paul, your great learning is driving you out of your mind and mad, Paul, you can say, I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, for I'm speaking the sober truth. And Agrippa said, in a short time you seek to persuade me to be a Christian. Paul said, whether short or long, I wish, would to God, that not only you, but also all who hear me this day would become such as I am, except for these chains. And with the mind of Christ filling you, keeping you, growing strong as you set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth, I know this, at the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.